That'll work.
So, our mission, Avant Ministries, the theme verse for the year is Psalm 96:3. So, I can't memorize without music, so I just added a little tune with the guitar, and we get to learn Psalm 96:3. I do simple songs, so you can hear it and sing it at the same time. And so, you can see, it's a four times, so you'll get it. By the end of the song, you'll have Psalm 96:3 memorized. So we'll do it in English, then Espanol. So let's practice a little bit. Everybody say, cuenten su gloria,
cuenten su gloria
entre las naciones.
Entre las naciones.
Sus
maravillas
a todos los pueblos.
A todos los pueblos.
And in English, that means.
Could I
have some sand on this mic, please? Could I have some sand on this mic? And that does have sound for the guitarra. Go back to cuatro. Can you hear it?
Declare his glory among the nations. 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 His marvelous works among all the peoples, his marvelous works among all the peoples.
En español.
Cuenten su gloria entre las naciones. 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 Sus maravillas a todos los pueblos. Sus maravillas a todos los pueblos.
Back to English.
Declare his glory among the nations. 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 His marvelous works among all the peoples. His marvelous works among all the peoples.
Oh, oh yeah. Hey. And I'm returning. Yes. The missionary is not a thief. Oh, I found my strap. There it is. Yeah. Now that I've been standing on my broken heel for the song. That's all right. So you're wondering what this boot is about. You, those who can't see the boot, I have a boot. In March, I had heel surgery. So I'm trying to recover from that. And I was ready to be recovered in March. And then the process is way too long for me. So, you know what? Is there a way that I could do like Debbie and put it here?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Hold on. I'll get this locked. That's what doesn't have anything.
Okay. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. So, okay. I was wondering, I see two here and one up there. It didn't. All right, so we are missionaries with a missionary agency called Avant. And that started in 1890 by C.I. Schofield. And one of the ministries that we do is teach and train Walk Through the Bible. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. And one of the ministries where we teach is the Seminario Bíblico Rio Grande. Everybody say it together? No. It's the Rio Grande Bible College in English. So our tagline, do you remember? I said it just 5 minutes ago. It starts with making disciples globally, and it ends in español. That's the tagline. So I was thinking when we were coming up with it that a better tagline would be making disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, but it wouldn't fit on the prayer card. So we decided to just stick with the other one. So one of the ways that we do that is equipping. So every sermon should have a title, and the title should be memorable. It is one word, equip. All right, so now you know what I'm going to talk about. Or if you want a longer title, equipping the next generation. We as believers are called to equip the next generation. Deuteronomy. Do you guys know Deuteronomy? Do you know where it happened? You're going, yeah, in the Bible. No. Where on the map? Okay. We have this map up here. Which way is north?
Up.
All right. Perfect. You got that memorized? Imagine the map just became down here. And we're going to focus not on the whole globe, but just the Middle East. Welcome to the Middle East. I get to be your cheapest guide to the Middle East. So what was at the top is now over here. So we are in the north. You guys are in the east. You got it. Okay, so now you got more or less how the Middle East is. So way back in the corner, that's by the sea, the Persian Gulf. El Golfo Pérsico, in case you were wondering. And then you guys that are sitting on that row, that's the Tigris. And right where your feet are, that's the Euphrates. And over there in that corner, that's Assyria. That window, that's Babylon. And let's say that back window, the first window as you're entering, is Persia. So we have a little bit of this. And over here in the north, this is the Sea of Galilee. And then it goes into the Jordan River. You're part of the Jordan River, not you. There's a little separation. Nobody can tell, but there is. This is the Jordan River, and then I have bad news for you folks. You are the Dead Sea. So, did everybody point to the Dead Sea? Yeah, okay, the Dead Sea. And all over here is the Mediterranean Sea. Got it? Okay, so this is the Middle East. And yes, I focused on you. Your name was Luke. Is that correct?
That's what my mom says.
That's right. Today, it is Moab. You are Moab. Everybody point. Well, is your mom here?
She's not here.
Then she has no say in what your name is today. You are Moab. Everybody point to Moab. Moab happens to be where Moses was preaching his last three sermons right before he died. And that is the book of Deuteronomy. He had already taught the same stuff 40 years before. But the generation, they heard it? Did they listen?
No.
Hearing and listening is a little different. Listening includes obeying. Did they obey? No. Did they have faith? No. Did they teach their children? No. So that's why when they finally, they've been wandering over the, you guys, are you, you're just wilderness. So just whatever facial face you want to give, that's wilderness. And the goal of that generation is just wander and wander and die. And that's what they did. And the next generation gets to come to Moab before they enter. This is the promised land, all right? Between these four bodies of water, Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea, and the Mediterranean. Here we have the promised land. So Deuteronomy is happening in Moab. And also Moab happens, you guys have heard of Ruth?
Yeah.
Ruth. If you haven't read the book of Ruth, oh, that's a cool book. It's incredible. You guys have heard of the great King David?
Yes.
His great grandma was from, please give me your place, Moab. So this is where we are. Not there. Yes, in Deuteronomy. Let's read Deuteronomy 4, 9 and 10 together. Be careful and watch yourselves closely, because the last generation didn't. So you don't forget, because the last generation did. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Hear my words to learn how to revere me and teach them to their children. That's key. So basically, you've heard a lot of teach, learn, hear, and teach. And our key word today, our key idea, teach, the key theme is equip. The previous generation had not equipped their children. So Moses is teaching in Deuteronomy and making sure that he doesn't just teach the truth, but he's telling them, obey it, hear me, listen, and teach the next generation. Here's another verse in Deuteronomy. Impress these commandments on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So basically, all the time, when you're in your house, everybody go in, out, and then what's the next? When you lie down, and when you're up. In, out, down, up. Everybody together. In, out, down, up. Got it. So, at all times, are we supposed to be impressing on our children? And some people just think, oh, I take my kids to church once a week. That's where they hear the word. Well, the word says to impress on these commandments on your children. Talk about them all the time. That's Deuteronomy. One of my favorite commentaries is the Bible Knowledge Commentary. They said this about this verse 6-7. Deuteronomy 6-7. Through laziness and apathy, parents might fail to teach them to their children, to avoid their children from becoming idolaters. I have friends who were lazy and had apathy, and their children have become idolaters. And I know Tacoma Bible Church does not want to be known as lazy and apathetic. We want to not be that way, to impress them on our children. And then they say, God trusts his great events of revelation, such as his giving the law at Sinai, to faithful stewards who must never forget them and who must pass them on to their children. You guys have seen a baton. I did not bring my baton. I like my baton. It was given to me, and it says 2 Timothy 2:2. And we'll get to that later. And in a race that is a relay race, one person runs and they come around the corner and the next person is waiting to get that baton so that the first person, first runner, hands it to them and they do not want to drop it at all. And they make sure the pass is passed on. They practice hours and hours and hours the passing of the baton. Because if you drop it, you'll probably lose the race. Even if you're the four fastest runners, you don't want to drop it. And that's the same thing that we have in scriptures. We want to pass the baton to the next scripture, to the next generation. And so how do we do this? Let's practice. I got it. Boom! And he takes it to the next generation. Thank you, my child. So 2 Timothy 2:2, this is what he's talking about. What does it say? Paul is speaking to Timothy. What you, Timothy, have heard from me, Paul. So we have two generations so far, in the presence of many witnesses, and trust, that's a cool word, and trust to faithful men. Now there's a third generation, Paul, Timothy, faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. In this one verse, Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:2 has four generations. That's cool. So there's Paul, Tim, faithful men, and others. Another quote from Bible Knowledge Commentary. Timothy traveled with Paul and heard the apostle address scores of diverse audiences. The essence of the message never changed. Now, nearing the end of his life. Okay, Moses, near the end of his life, is saying, don't be Dinkeldorfs. Teach the next generation. Paul, at the end of his life, says, pass it on to the next generation. The essence of the message never changed. Now nearing the end of his life, he's passing the baton. This ministry of multiplication is God's method for propagating the good news of Jesus Christ. The term train also can be used to direct the growth of a plant. My daughter-in-law loves plants. I kill plants. She knows how to make them not die. And she loves doing stuff with them and making them do what she wants them to do. I water it and it dies. I don't water it and it dies. She sent a picture of her training her plants to go where she wanted them to. And I said, that's awesome. I'm going to use your pictures of your obedient plants in my sermon. The term train can be used to direct the growth of a plant, usually by bending, pruning, and tying, which she did with all of these. With people training, not just plant training, but people training, it means, training means to form, mold, form by instruction, discipline, or drill. So if you ever say, oh, Pastor, you already taught that word or that passage or that idea. Well, there's a reason he's doing it again. Because drill, 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 repeat, repeat, repeat. Oh, yeah. That's how we get it into our brains and then down into our souls. The purpose of training is not just a process of forming, but getting results. We are to teach, to make fit, to qualify, and to make proficient. Some of the other synonyms of train are equip and trust, pass on the truth, and transmit. One of the ministries of Rio Grande Bible College is a radio station, Radio Esperanza, Radio Hope. And millions are listening to the gospel and being trained through the transmission of the gospel over the radio. Towards the close of the first chapter of Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul expressed his disappointment that some Christians in Asia, including Phygellus and Hermogenes, I thank my parents all the time that they did not name me Hermogenes. These two guys had deserted the Apostle Paul, and also they had deserted the cause of Christ. And so he finishes 2 Timothy 1 with that idea. And then he gets into 2 Timothy chapter 2. And with this background of a general falling away, this chapter opens with the apostle urging Timothy, his disciple, not to follow the example of Phygellus and Hermogenes. You can name your animals that, but not your children. He says, but to stand his ground. Timothy, stand your ground. And also to not let his natural timidity betray him into disloyalty. We've had two passages so far. The first was Deuteronomy. Then we had 2 Timothy. Now we have Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to, what is the key word of this sermon? Equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The purpose of people with these gifts is to prepare God's people for works of service. So if you think my goal is to attend and warm my chair for an hour while he expounds the truth of the gospel, you are totally incorrect. Amen. It is not to sit and warm and soak and enjoy. It is to learn in order to serve. Ah, so we are to put to use what we have learned. More literally, this purpose is to perfect or equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The Greek term, katartismon, that's the Spanish accent of Greek, because I don't know Greek. So, katartismon, from the verb katartiso, used in, where is it used? Katartiso is used in Matthew 4:21. And in Matthew 4:21, it says in English, mending, because they were talking about nets. So they're mending their nets. So they're fixing the nets. So when you throw the net out into the water and it gets snagged on stuff, or the fish make holes in the nets, well, after fishing, they take out their nets and they must mend them. That is another term for equip. In Galatians 6:1, katartizo is restore. So some people sin. And the idea is not just give them the boot and you sinned, you're out of here. No, we discipline in order to restore to the fellowship. That's the idea of bringing them back into the fold. So restore for proper use. 2 Corinthians 13:11, strive for full restoration of the work of the ministry, for the work of the ministry. And Hebrews 13:21, equip you with everything good that you may do his will. In Ephesians 4:11, gifted people are to minister the word to others so that they in turn are readied to get involved in ministering to others. 2 Timothy 2:2. Remember, it doesn't just go from Paul to Timothy, all done. No. From Paul to Timothy, two faithful men. And not all done. The faithful men do to others. And so it's a generational thing. It doesn't stop with Pastor Dan. He equips. And then it doesn't stop with those people that hear. We get to serve and use what we've learned and pass it on, pass the baton to the next generation. In classical Greek, perfecting others to refitting a ship or setting a bone. You've seen an x-ray of a broken bone. It must be brought back and then you put a cast on it to hold it in place. And God does the mending, the restoration process. And so M.R. Vincent, in his Word Studies in the New Testament, says it's for refitting a ship. After a long journey, they bring a ship back and there are some parts that are wrong. They refit it so it's usable again. Ministering and building are means to this end. Ephesians 4, 12, and 13, it's 12 and the next one. Equip his people for works of service. In one word, serve. To build up the body. One word, build. Till we all reach unity in the faith. One word, unity. Knowledge of Christ as the Son of God. One word, knowledge. And become mature, attaining fullness of Christ. In one word, mature. So these five key words in these two verses equipped to produce evidence of spiritual growth, which is service, strengthening, cooperation or unity, Christ-likeness with your knowledge. You live out the life that is like Christ, and maturity. There's constant growth. Now the question, I have a few questions. Five questions because there's five words. Serve, build, unity, knowledge, and mature. Is every member of this church serving? Think about it. How have I, in the last day, week, or month, served? If you haven't served, think about how you can serve the body of Christ. And if you can't think of any way to serve, there are leaders in this church that you can approach and say, how can I serve here? Another question. Is every member of this church stable? The word that we had used was build. We build a building. And it builds on each other. And as we are growing, we are built. And you need stability. Are you stable? If you are not stable, ask a leader in this church, how can I become stable in my faith? Is everybody in this church unified? If you have a conflict with somebody, it happens. We're humans. Pray and think about how you can make amends, connect with everybody in the body. Is every member of this church growing spiritually? If you're not growing spiritually, let's say we take your pulse. I'm going to take your pulse right now, your spiritual pulse. I don't know him. So let's just say he's a brand new believer. He's like a number three. My goal in our time together is that after spending time with you, you're at a four. Okay, now let's say he's 80 years old. He's been walking with Christ for a long time. He's at a nine. After spending time with you, my goal is that you get to a 10. So you can spend time with people and think, how can I be of service to you? How can I help you grow and be stronger, maturing, growing spiritually? And if you don't know how to grow spiritually, there are leaders in this church that would love to help you grow spiritually. Is every member of this church Christ-like? You're thinking, well, I'll never be that way. That's the goal, that we become Christ-like. Disciples are being equipped in the Rio Grande Bible College. Before we get to that, walk through the Bible. I get to teach walk through. You saw a little bit of the map and how the teaching goes. I get to be part of the Global Children's Trainers. We have leaders in that I get to meet with once a month via Zoom. And I meet with people in Ukraine, Philippines, England, South America, Central America, and South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria. Some of them I got to train. Some of them were trained by others. And I'm going to show you a video of some of those kids that I've learned. And before I get to that, I've gotten to teach in Latin America. I'm praying for Equatorial Guinea and Cyprus, spelled correctly in this one. And Antioch. We're looking forward to teaching in those three countries later on this year. So, can we get a video?
Space.
Space. Oh, it has volume. Is that better?
Sa'ulay, sa'ulay, sa'ulay.
Some people don't know the signs. You want to learn a few? Some of the people, if you were here in the first service, you may come to the front if you would like. And I see some people just trembling with excitement to come up here. And the trembling. Yeah, okay. There's a few. Come on, come on. Yes. All right. Yes. Oh, yeah, we can all do that. Okay, so we're going to do the book of Genesis. You went on in English?
Yes.
Yes, not Spanish. We'll do English. Okay, put your hands like this. And you have nothing in your hands. Out of nothing, God created everything. So we say, creation. Everybody go like this and say, creation. And then there was a thing called sin. And we're going to call it fall. Fall. And there was a bunch of sin. And so God sent a bunch of water. And we call it flood. And then the Tower of Babel we call nations, because that's when the nations started. And we're going to separate it. And we say nations. Everybody together. Creation, fall, flood, nations. And then God kind of gets a little, like a lupa, a magnifying glass. And he goes, and focuses on one person and this family. And his name is Abraham. And he says, you're going to have a bunch of kids and these tons of descendants like the stars. And so we're going to go, Abraham. Everybody say, Abraham. And some people with much rebellion are going, Abraham. No, no, no. Walk through the Bible. You have to participate with your hands together. Abraham. And we grab one of those stars and it becomes his child, Isaac. And then he has a couple kids. And one of them is called Jacob. And he wrestles against his brother, and Jacob wrestles against Laban, and Jacob wrestles against God. And so then his favorite son, he gives a tunic of many colors, and his name is Joseph. Let's review these 8 steps that we have for the book of Genesis. Creation, fall, flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Yes! All right. Oh, yeah. So some of the people that I've gotten to teach at Rio Grande Bible College are, you don't see what I see. Now you see it. Javi and Jennifer are from El Salvador. You could just tell by their accent, can't you? And their daughter, Antonella. And in case you're wondering, well, I thought this was a Bible school. They're married? Oh, yeah. We have a lot of married people come. And not like a normal Bible school in the States that most freshmen are 17 or 18. Now, we've got a lot of people who have already graduated from, they already have a career, and some of them have already done part of their work in their career, like marketing or publicist. We got lawyers, we got doctors. In my class of 10 last semester, I had a lawyer from Argentina and a doctor from Honduras, and others from who are doing other jobs. And the Colombian... He would miss some classes because he says, I'm training these people. And in my job, he's a trainer. And so I'm training him how to do walk through the Bible. And speaking in front of people is normal for him because that's his job. And then the guy in Mexico, he was on our Zoom class. And he had another job. And so many of our students are not just 18-year-olds. And so Javi and Jennifer, he started a ministry in Salvador before attending Rio Grande, and it's called Fútbol y Palabra, soccer and the word. And so he trains kids how to play soccer, what Latin American doesn't want to learn how to play soccer, and teaches them the word of God. And so coming to Rio Grande, he said, I needed to learn more Bible to be able to communicate to my students better. Heriberto, I was just talking to him yesterday. And he was born in Mexico, raised in the States. So he talks English like this. But his writing is, let's just say, atrocious. But, you know, because he mixes it with the Spanish writing and it just doesn't come out. He writes like he thinks he hears it. And so that's that part of his education. So it's a little tough. But he was basically raised in the streets. He was messed up in drugs and alcohol and just... Think of nasty things. He was involved in that. And then somebody said, Heriberto, do you want to live like this the rest of your life? Oh, no, I don't. But I can't stop. I got a solution for you. Please. It's Jesus. And so this rehab ministry shared the gospel with him. He came to Christ. He grew, matured, and he was a leader in the rehab center. And the leader said, you need more Bible. So he sent him to Rio Grande. And that's where I met him. And he is pastoring one of the rehab churches. And so when we teach every semester, they go through either the Old or New Testament. And at the end, the final exam is not a written exam. It's all the students go to a church and they each have a part of the walkthrough that they teach in front of a live audience. And so two of the semesters were in his church to a bunch of rehab guys. Lucho Caizaguano, he's like... He looks really tall. He's 5'3". Imagine his sister's height. He's from the... I can't even pronounce the area that he's from in Ecuador. He wrote it, and it's like two lines long. And so it's way up in the boondocks. And so his first language is Quechua. And this is what he would do. Every Tuesday, they teach four of the stories and teach four steps. I just led you through eight steps in 3 minutes. They had to do four steps in 10 minutes. So Lucho Caizaguano comes up to this front of the class and... trying to ignore anybody between the sky and the floor. And I thought... It was so painful, gut-wrenching for all his classmates and me. Finally, one day, I talked to him at a mealtime, and I said, Lucho, what's your language that you speak to your parents in? He says, Quechua. I said, next Tuesday, you're going to teach your next four stories in Quechua. And he goes... No se puede. It cannot be done. Because they're taught that the dialect that you have in the home is not worthy of being spoken in public. You never speak your dialect to people who don't understand you. And because it's for low people. And I said, your classmates, they want to hear Quechua. Oh, but they won't understand me. I said, oh, yes, they will. We'll all understand you because we all know what... It's the sign language. You teach your four stories, and when you get to that sign language, that hand sign, we'll know what you're talking about. No se puede. Yes, you can do it. So Tuesday comes, and I would pray for him. Maybe hourly, all weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday morning. I could not even sleep Monday because I was so excited about hearing Quechua. And he goes, oh, no, not again. Anyway, I thought, what did you do to my Lucho Caizaguano? You're another person. Something clicked that he's able to communicate and flow. And he was part of our church plant. And so all the students, all the guys take turns preaching. And when it was time to preach for Lucho, it was, oh, it's so painful. Because it was like this. Is every member of this church stable? Is every member of this church unified? And that's how the whole sermon was. And the next time that he preached, he actually looked at people like, that's a miracle for Kaisawano. And his voice, he had high and low, loud and soft. And I thought, wow, praise God for walk through the Bible that trained him how to communicate the scriptures. So it's more than just teach these 40 steps. There's a lot more involved. Amy Martinez is from Ecuador, and she is teaching at the drug rehab center. You can tell this guy has had quite an exciting life. And she got to the part of the New Testament where she's teaching tempted by Satan. And I thought, man, this is a cool picture. I gotta get it. And it was cool because he was looking at her, she's looking at him, and she was not intimidated. She was just teaching the scriptures. One of my students this semester, I give them one of the homework assignments is variety. It's called toolbox. If you want to make crowns to represent kings when you're teaching children, or get a staff for Moses, or whatever, or write a song. And this girl said, I can do graphic design. I'm going to make Caminata Biblica, Walk Through the Bible, jungle version. And so you see creation, fall, flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Passover. And then at the bottom it says, continuará. She said, I didn't have time to do all 40 of that. It took me so many hours to do this. So over the summer, I'm going to work and I'll finish the project. Now that's cool. When somebody still is working on a homework assignment and knows that there's no grade. So we will skip this because I think we've gotten to a little past the time. But I do have a little video about the Rio Grande Bible College. I thought I did. Yes, we did.
I love Christ's assurance in Matthew 16. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And we see the marvel of the fulfillment of this promise in our day in every geographical region of the globe. And in our Hispanic world, people are responding to the good news of salvation by grace through faith in Christ like never before. We see Hispanic churches established in every part of the world because Hispanics are now dispersing in almost every country on our planet. The harsh reality in these Hispanic congregations is that a great number of them do not have trained leaders or pastors, which is exactly why God established the Rio Grande Bible College. Jesus called us into the harvest to prepare Christ-centered leaders with a biblical worldview for the global church. Our classes, our environment, and all of our professors embrace this divine commission. God is hand-picking, selecting men and women and calling them to fulfill the amazing assignment of making disciples, followers of Christ in all parts of the world. A great many of them he's also sending to Rio Grande to receive their education, their spiritual preparation, and their ministerial training.
One of them is more complete with different emphasis, such as pastoral, missions, Christian education, and women's ministries. Therefore, you can camp and have a preparation with excellence. Most importantly, all the teaching is in Spanish, the language of their heart. The teachers here have ministry experience in Latin America. You should also know that the preparation here is comprehensive. That is, you will have opportunities to practice what you learn, to share it in a church through what we call practical ministry. This is very good because you are not left only with an academic teaching, but you put it into practice. In addition to all of this, you have the opportunity to develop friendships that will last for the rest of your life with people from different countries. We will help you and guide you throughout the process of your calling from God until you arrive here. We wait for you.
Graduates are all over planet Earth fulfilling Christ's great commission. And one day, in eternity, we will stand before the King of Kings along with men and women from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, worshiping the Lamb that was slain. And what a joy it will be to know that many of them were reached, discipled, and commissioned into the harvest by graduates of Rio Grande.
My problem watching that video is I want to pause at every picture and tell you 10 minutes of story about them. But we can't. So, I'll continue. Michelle on the left is from Mexico. And Dana is from Peru. And during the class, they were teaching, co-teaching in another church. So they would tell the stories on Tuesday, and on Sunday, they're teaching in their church the same stories. And Michelle on the left is working with Ilse, who's from Bolivia, on a mission trip, teaching Walk Through the Bible in several places throughout the summer in Chile. I only have 10 students this last semester, and they represent 7 countries. They're teaching this summer in Vermont, Texas, North Carolina, Florida, 3 states in Mexico, Salvador, Honduras, Colombia, Ecuador, and Chile. Yanela is working with another ministry of Rio Grande called Global. She took walkthrough and also was in a music program. And she's helping Global is basically training churches how to send missionaries. In this country, we've had the culture of sending missionaries for over a century. Latin America has received missionaries, and they are now becoming a missionary sending force, not just a missionary field. And so that's what she and several others are doing. And this is the music group that travels in different states. Last summer, the ambassadors traveled to 13 states, mostly between Texas and the Midwest, over to Alabama, and maybe someday they'll come out to the metropolis of Taquilma. That's how they would say it.
You got it right.
Yes. Oh, by the way, I just was remembering that we have a sign-up sheet, so if you would like to receive our prayer letters, it is not painful. All you have to do is put your email legibly on that paper back there, and it's maximum one email a month. And it's not an essay. It's a little blurb with a picture, another paragraph with a picture, another paragraph with a picture. Yeah, it's just that. So if you want to keep up more updated with the Blakers Ministries, sign up back there and take our prayer card and stickers and phone holder. If you have a phone, you can take a phone holder and use it. And on those things, there are also little QR code. And if you don't know what QR code is, just ignore this. You get your phone and zoom in on this, and it can guide you to our page of Avant Ministry. And it describes about the Blakers and also says how to give financially if you would like to do so. And I would like to end with a quote of Philippians 1, 3, and 5 from the Blaker version. I thank God every time I remember you because of your partnership in the gospel. I failed to include that several of our teachers and students have been denied visas to work in Texas. And so they work from the countries where they're from. And like our director of admissions, recruitment, you would say probably it would be nice to be on campus. Yes, it would be. But she's from Venezuela, so she's working in Venezuela. There is an issue with working in Venezuela. Every day, the government decides to save electricity, so they cut off everybody's electricity when they want, from 4 to 6 hours. So no matter what hour it comes, you know you're not going to be able to keep working. And if your job is admissions with people over all Latin America and with her colleagues in the States, and all of a sudden she can't, you can't do Wi-Fi when there's no electricity. So pray for those students and staff and faculty who would like to get into the States legally to either study or work. And pray for us. This last semester, 9 students were granted visas. So they came. 13 were denied. And they were from Argentina, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Costa Rica, Honduras, and Panama. And so far, I have gotten to train 43 students from 14 countries in North, Central, South America, and the Caribbean to be certified instructors of Walk Through the Bible. But I don't want you just to be thinking of what do the Blakers do. Think of how is God using you to equip the next generation. And I think we should pray. Por favor. Do you want this microphone?
No.
Debbie, I'd like you to come up here. We pray for the night for Sunday school, but then you've got to get Caleb. Come on.